Thank you, Jared. And I'm not sure that Mr. Burford had to get legislative approval to do the title standards in Texas, did you? No, they just did it as part of the state bar, so don't be looking for a legislative fix. When I arrived last night and checked in, I was looking at the book, and since I was basically in prison the last 60 or 70 days in Santa Fe, Jared really had to do the heavy work and write the paper and get it over to the University of Texas. So when I showed up and looked through the materials, I was without our paper, because in your book, you don't have a tab 12. And when I checked at the desk, they looked and they said, well, we sent it to the printer, but it didn't arrive in your book. So I hope everyone got a copy of the paper, because this is probably more important than listening to Jared and I, because that'll be around for a while and it has some good information in it. If you didn't get one, they will be available at the desk, and I think they told me it is in the electronic version as well. Oil and gas law in New Mexico is very similar to Texas, and so for those of you that are practicing law in Texas, you can I guess breathe a sigh of relief if you've done New Mexico title that most things are very similar. But we are going to go over a couple landmines that can trip you up and hopefully give you sufficient warning if you do cross the state line and examine title in New Mexico, some of the things you need to be cognizant of and look for as you are examining title. As in Texas, a mineral interest and an oil and gas leasehold interest, a royalty interest are all deemed to be real property. An oil and gas lease creates, in most instances, a fee simple determinable estate. Our conveyancing rules are very much like, if not identical to, those in the state of Texas, with maybe an exception with respect to quitclaim deeds, which I understand you guys don't like. We're okay with them. You're a notice state, New Mexico's a notice state. So a lot of similarities. But there are a few things that really trip landmen and lawyers up as they cross the state line. The first one's community property. And Jared, I think George Snell has always told me that Texas is also a community property state. Have you heard that?
I have heard that before.
But in New Mexico, we really mean it. And I'll go into why I said it that way. Community property, as in Texas, is all property acquired during marriage that is not separate property. Separate property is defined in the statute as property acquired before marriage, acquired by gift, acquired by devise or inheritance, acquired with separate property funds, or there's been a transmutation, the parties agree that it's separate property. The presumption in New Mexico is strong that all property acquired during marriage is community property unless you can really see that it was acquired by one of the methods that we went over for separate property. The real landmine in New Mexico is that with respect to conveyancing, and that would include leasing and executing assignments, is that any conveyance of community real property requires joinder of both spouses. That's a little bit different than I understand the law in Texas to be, and it's one that we see violated on a very frequent basis in New Mexico, particularly with people who own New Mexico real property and live outside of New Mexico. They only get one of the spouses to execute the lease or the assignment, and that instrument violates our community real property standards. And I think Jared will tell you that that instrument that doesn't have joinder of both spouses is what?
Void.
Void?
Void. Void ab initio.
Not voidable, void. means it doesn't exist. It's no good. So in New Mexico, if you're seeking leases, if you're seeking assignments, make sure that if it's a married individual, that both spouses sign, unless the record is clear, that that property is in fact their separate property. Just saying it's their separate property does not make it so. And the test of whether it's community or separate property is tested on the date of acquisition. In 1993, New Mexico did pass a statute that allows ratifications, but the real quandary for title examiners is if you have John Doe executing the lease, and then 2 years later, his wife Jane Doe executes a ratification, does that ratification by the wife breathe life into a void instrument, particularly if there's no words of grant?
Or since the statute says any instrument dealing with real property must be joined by both spouses, is the ratification void because it was not joined by both spouses?
So it creates a quandary. And the best practice is that you secure the ratification from both spouses and you have words of grant in the ratification to make sure that life is breathed into that void instrument.